If you join me in prayer. 366 days have passed this year, O Lord, and tonight we thank you for all the blessings that you have shown to us. As we await the arrival of this new year, we ask for your guidance and protection to be upon us in the new year. We are thankful that even with all the worldly changes, you never change. We thank you for being the same yesterday, today, and forever. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Well, as I indicated earlier, the message this evening is going to focus around the reading from Romans and these words again. I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Well, grace, mercy, and peace be to you this evening from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Of course, our text comes from the epistle reading that I shared with you just a few moments ago from the 8th chapter of Romans that Paul wrote to the letter to the Church of God in Rome. Dear friends in Christ, what then shall we say about the year that's passed? There were certainly many joys for us. We had babies born. There were baptisms that took place here at Trinity. Marriages were performed. Birthdays were celebrated. And countless other causes of rejoicing for us and for those that we love. But we also know that we had a year of challenges. There was a lot of racial unrest, riots in our cities and on our campuses, numerous natural disasters, of course, COVID, an economy that began to struggle, and then finally we had the contentious presidential election. In our congregation, though, we also have had joys and challenges. Our building project for upstairs in the school went very smoothly. And as I was informed and told, I think all of us were shared this information, even the additional costs of that project on our monthly building payments, it was reported to have decreased around $600 a month due to the lower interest rates. We have a wonderful school in operation. We've got beautiful students there. We have an exceptional teaching staff. But we have also had the blessings of Almighty God because we have been able to meet our financial obligations this past year, even though with smaller attendance, in-house church attendance. Of course, our biggest challenge is coming up. We are calling a new pastor with the retirement of Pastor Hafman. But we have also been blessed because in the meantime, we have had pastoral leadership provided by Pastor Hesse and Pastor Pearson and now Pastor Schnegelberger. And shortly, we hope to have that interim pastor join us here at Trinity. And then we look at our own individual lives, and we have seen loved ones lost. Personally, experienced that with the loss of my mother-in-law this past year. And we've had the scourge of this COVID still going on. And now we hear there's a variant out there that may be more contagious than the previous one. Many have spent parts of this year in the hospital bed, and some have spent time at the mortuary. We even know what it's like to spend maybe nights awake wondering how we are going to make it through the latest crisis to enter our lives. What then shall we say about the year 2020? For the most part, here's my phrase, I believe to say tonight, good riddance. good riddance. That's one reason why we hopefully are here as we will celebrate this new year, hopefully with more enthusiasm than in this past. We can hope that the year will be better that is coming, and that the year than this year that has passed, and that the future will also be an improvement on the present. But such optimism has no basis in fact. In fact, it is a hope without content, a hope, really, that has its foundation simply on the changing fortunes of politics and economics, the blind belief that our world will simply get better and better. Such a hope will always disappoint us because it is based on man. But what St. Paul has to offer us here tonight in this coming New Year's Eve, on this New Year's Eve, is a very different hope, a hope that will never disappoint, a hope of an optimism that is much more certain, much more sure, because it is not founded on sinful men, but upon the sinless, crucified, and risen Christ. So what shall then we say about the year that is past? And Paul has an answer for us this evening, or rather, he puts it in the form of a question. If God is for us, then who is against us? And the good news for us this evening is that God is for us. He was for us in the past, he is for us in the present, and he will be for us in the future that is to come. In fact, the reason we know that he is for us now and in the days to come is because he was with us in the past. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he also with him graciously give us all things? When you think about it, God did not spare his own son, but what did God do? He spared us. We deserve death. We deserve suffering. We deserve even hell itself. But God spared us, and he refused to spare his own son. If you go back to the Old Testament story of Isaac, he was spared, and a ram died in his place, so that we were spared, and as Isaac was spared, Christ died in our place. He was our substitute in life and also in death. He is that sinless one. He is the one who died in our place so that we might be justified and made righteous in God's sight. If God is willing to do that, if he's willing to put his own son to death in our place, then how can anything or anyone else overcome us? He has given to us his son, his most precious gift. And how sometimes we fail to give us all that we need, not necessarily, but we want, and now and in the future. No one, and there's nothing that can destroy us, no one can take anything away from us that has been given to us through Christ. Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who indeed is interceding for each and every one of us. We are not alone. We have an intercessor with the Father, that being Jesus Christ, his only Son. And where is he seated? But at the right hand of God. That's right. No one then can bring a charge against us before the Father. No one can condemn us. But we know the devil's out there. The devil tries to make us despair. For what does he do? He holds our sins before our eyes, and he knows the penalty for them better than we do. He points to the sufferings that have entered our lives as evidence that we are guilty and condemned. If God really loves you, he asks, why do you suffer so? Think about that. Why do people get COVID? Why are they put in those positions? Why do some of us not have to go through that? Well, the answer to his accusations is the cross that you see before you this evening, and also that empty tomb. For that is what Jesus constantly is doing. He's holding that up before his Father's eyes, before that throne of grace. And when we sin and when we repent, Jesus is right there. Where? At the throne of God, holding up his death and his resurrection before his own Father, reminding him that we are justified, that we have been declared righteous, fully reconciled with our Creator. We don't have to look to our sufferings to know what God thinks of us, but we do need to look to the cross. We look to the empty tomb. We look to Jesus, our substitute, our intercessor. And so, as long as the Lord stands at the right hand of the Father, we have a promise. We have a promise that this world can do nothing to take away our salvation. For who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? But we know this evening there are Christians. There are Christians experiencing every one of these kinds of suffering somewhere in the world at this very moment. For the world desires to destroy the church. As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all day long. We are being regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Yeah. At times it may seem that we are forsaken, that we are abandoned by God, that he has left us to fend for ourselves. But nothing could be further from the truth, my dear friends. For no, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. When we are weak, our Lord is strong. When we seem to be overcome at that moment, we have triumphed. And why is that? It is because Jesus died and he rose again for us. And it is through that cross and the empty tomb that Christ has won the victory for us and for victory over all of our enemies. And there is nothing, and I repeat this again, absolutely nothing that can snatch that victory away. And so it is our Lord Christ Jesus who holds the future for us as he has the past. There is nothing that has happened in this past year that can take away our salvation that we have in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there is nothing coming in the future that can also separate us from him. We can and have the opportunity to refuse to repent and believe. We can turn our backs on this salvation, and many we know tragically do. But this world cannot take away what has been given to us in Christ. The world can destroy our marriages. The world can alienate our kids, strike us with disease, even put us to death. But it cannot separate us from the love of Christ that which he has for us. Because we are justified. We are forgiven. We have been declared righteous in God's sight. We are baptized, those cleansed and made holy by Christ's blood. And because of that, all things are ours in Christ. The future doesn't belong to the world any more than the past does, but all things do belong to Christ. And so all things belong to us because we have a future that is certain in our Lord Jesus. What then shall we say about the year that is to come, 2021? Perhaps there may be more of the same as 2020, an economic recovery, or it might be a downfall, a divisive political atmosphere, tornadoes, blizzards, floods. In our own lives, who knows who the Lord will call home, what affliction we will attack our bodies, or how this sinful world may attack us. But one thing I'm here to share with you tonight, and one thing that we all do know, for it has always been true, and it always will be true, God is for us for the sake of His Son. And if God is for us, who can be against us? So this evening we can rejoice, we can celebrate all the things that await us in this coming new year, 2021, and we can have joy even in the midst of suffering. We can face those struggles that may come to our lives, to this congregation, or our world with our eyes fixed on Jesus, knowing that in all things we are more than conquerors in Him who loved us. And with that in mind this evening, we thank our Lord Jesus for seeing us through this past year, and I hope all of you can look forward to what is ahead of us in the coming year. We ask this in Jesus' precious and holy name, and God's people said, Amen. And now, Lord Jesus, though You are exalted at the Father's right hand, You still hold each and every one of us. Keep us in Your love in this coming year of 2021. We ask it in Your precious name. Amen.